Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. Proverbs 23 and 7. There's going to be a number of passages that I'll share with you this morning, most of which will probably be on the screen, but there may be some that I mentioned that are not, but I want you to look here at Proverbs 23, verse 7. And the first part of this is all we will read, just one line. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Some translations, it's familiar this way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I want you to just read that with me now, here, like it is on the screen. Say it with me. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. All right. Father, we just come to you again, asking you, Lord, to open our minds and our hearts to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach a message this morning that we've titled, "Don't Lose Your Mind." We live in a world where if you get caught up in all the voices and all of the political unrest and commercials, you'll lose your mind. We know that it goes on, but sometimes, and especially I think in this cycle, it gets ramped up even more so than we've ever known, perhaps. But there's so many voices today. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that can really affect your thinking and have an impact upon your mind. And we as believers have got to particularly make sure that we don't lose our mind, that we don't get so distracted that we are not thinking the way God would have us to think. So we've got to be very careful about how we think. I'd like for you to turn, and I don't think this will be on the screen, but I'd like for you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 just for a moment. Philippians 4, a very familiar passage to many people, but I want us to look at these words just for a moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to notice that. It will guard your hearts. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, or think on these things. Now, I just wanted to draw your attention here to the word where our mind should be. But when we lose sight of that and we get focused on everything else, that's when we lose our minds. But if we will focus on what God would have us to focus on, if we would come back to a home base again and again and again and again, over and over and over, God will be able to lead us through this mind field of a world. Where it seems like there's a minefield, and there have been explosive devices planted everywhere in this life to cause people to get distracted, cause people to be in fear, cause people to really even think and then act in ways that God has no intention of us acting or thinking. But please know this, it always begins in the thoughts. Before it begins in the thoughts, ever before it becomes a word or a deed. And so we have to guard our hearts and minds, and we guard it with the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding, that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this relationship has to be ongoing. It's got to be an ongoing relationship. It's not just a prayer that we prayed one day and said, I got saved, and then just go out in the world and just hope I make it. Without ever being nourished spiritually, without ever taking into account his plan and purpose and his will, those are the things that we have to be focused on as we follow him. And so I want to take you on a scripture journey for the next few moments and talk about how not to lose our mind. And so I want you to turn over to Ephesians. If you'll back up, if you went to Philippians, just back up a few pages to Ephesians chapter 4, and most of the rest of the scriptures perhaps will be on the screen from this point forward. We'll find out which ones I remember to tell them about, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, actually it's Ephesians chapter 6. That's how quick and sharp I am in my mind. It's Ephesians chapter 6, brother. We're going to be looking at verses 10, 11, and 12. Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you are marking anything in your Bible, just mark that, the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So here I want us to grab hold of the reality of what it is that we are up against in this world. We're living, and our mind is a battlefield. When we came to Christ, We were to submit our life to him and to his lordship and to his will and his way. And even as Jesus set the example for us when he said, not my will, but thine be done. It is a submission of our will to his lordship and surrender to him as our salvation, as our savior and as the Lord and King of our life. This is what happens to us when we surrender our life to him and we accept him and we're born again, there is a transformation that takes place in our life. And God desires that that it not be just something where somebody prayed a prayer and then they're done. No, it's a journey. It's a life. We are to walk it out in following the Lord. As the scripture says, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It is a fellowship and a fellowship. And so we don't have fellowship with the Lord if we don't have fellowship of him. And we're to follow him. And in following him, he changes our lives. And here in this passage is telling us to be strong. Be strong. You're following the Lord. So be strong. And I want you to know that you are in the power of his might. You can be strong. And so put on the whole armor of God. Now, we're not going to describe all parts of the armor that's described to us here in chapter 6, but one of the key things that we must think about is part of the armor of God is the helmet of salvation. And what we learn, and it is not a physical armor, it's a spiritual armor. And the reason we need a spiritual armor is because we're dealing with, as the last verses of verse 11 say, the wiles of the devil. Now, this word wiles of the devil comes from the root word methodica, which we get the word methods. It could be translated, we've got to stand against the methods of the devil. The methods of the devil. And then we look in verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. These methods ultimately is not about flesh and blood. You remember Jesus said on an occasion to Peter, he said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he was talking to Peter about the spirit that was behind the viewpoint of Peter, the spirit behind the words of Peter. Peter said, "There's Lord, no way. You're not going to go to the cross." I mean, he was not wanting to see him to die, but we understand the will of God was that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. That was established before the worlds began. He was slain from the very foundations of the world. And Peter was saying something that was contrary to the will of God. And so Jesus just said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, that's not, we don't need to go around telling people, "You devil." He's not giving us a license to talk to people this way. But we must understand that there is something behind going on. And it's not the person. It's not the person that works in the cubicle next to you. It's not the person that it may seem like it's the person on the job site with you, but it's ultimately not them. It is behind the scenes. There are these schemes and methods of the devil to try and to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. He's ultimately at work trying to, trying to distract us, trying to get us thinking the wrong way and thus acting the wrong way. He don't like the fact that you have been born again. He doesn't like the fact that you have believed upon Jesus. Therefore, he's at work all the time. But here it's letting us know that it's against principalities that we battle with. Not the next door neighbor. It's against powers. Not the business that you think has done you wrong. I understand we live in a real world. People make decisions and there's things going on. But ultimately, it's a bigger thing going on. Because even if you've been done wrong by someone, I want to tell you the objective of the enemy goes far beyond the person that did you wrong. The objective of the enemy is to get me in a place spiritually where I become ineffective as a believer. And so he likes to push us down and to knock us down, to get us off track. And so the rulers of the darkness of this age ultimately is where the warfare is. And the war is in the mind. The war is in the mind. And so I want just to continue these thoughts. I want you to back up a few pages to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. It says, "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." Now, what we see going on here in this passage, indeed, is an issue of forgiveness within the Corinthian church. And it's important that we fully forgive, that we don't just half-heartedly forgive when someone has done us wrong or whatever the case may be. But anyway, the Apostle Paul, in the context of this passage, he's talking about forgiveness. So when he's talking about forgiveness, he's also addressing unforgiveness, when we don't forgive. And so look at the very next verse, 11. "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So what he's teaching us here is that he's teaching the church of Corinth and ultimately us that in this forgiveness and forgiving, if we don't fully forgive, if there's unforgiveness, the enemy can take advantage of us. The enemy can come in and he can take advantage of the situation, and if we're not careful, it seems like we get caught up in it. And he's saying, listen, don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Don't be ignorant of it. Now, I mentioned a moment ago when I talked about the wiles of the devil in Ephesians 6 and 12 or 11 and 12, the wiles of the devil. And I said that is, comes from the root word where we get the word method. The methods of the devil. Well, now we have the same type thing going on where he said where the devil, he'll take advantage of you. And it really speaks to in the original language of the devil having a strategy against our mind where he would take advantage of us if we're not careful. And he said, don't be ignorant of his devices because he will scheme you in a way to attack your mind. See, I want to say to you over and over again today, don't lose your mind. The enemy would like to distract you. He would like to deceive you. He would like to scheme with you. And most of the time, he'll be utilizing flesh and blood. But it's not there. We're not going to be ignorant of his devices. Ultimately, some people have a hard time. They think, maybe something happened between two individuals and something went down and somebody thinks, that you're mad. And then you go, I'm not mad. And what happens is they might be mad, but you're not mad because you recognize it wasn't about them. It was the enemy that was behind that situation. And I think that's where we have to go as believers. I can't get caught up being all bent out of shape with flesh and blood. Life is too short, and I'm flesh and blood. Don't get too bent out of shape with me. Listen, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is really trying to distract and discourage and ultimately to destroy us. Therefore, we have no need to war with one another. We need to understand that there is the schemes and methods of the enemy that are trying to do these things. That those are the things that seek to divide. Now, of course, we have dealings with individuals. Of course, the scriptures even teach us about how to act toward people as when things happen in the flesh. But we still have to recognize where it came from, where the origin of it was, where the origin of the misdeed was. And also, we still are accountable in our flesh. We're accountable as individuals. Just because there's the enemy working doesn't mean we walk around unaccountable for what we do and what we say. For whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures we mentioned a few weeks ago says we shall all give an account to God. So it does matter what we do in this physical body. The Bible says that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It matters what I say. It matters what I do in this body. But what I want to tell us is ultimately my war, though, is not with any of you. It's not with us one another. It's not with the man down the street. It's not with the next door neighbor. It's not with the person that did you wrong somewhere or whatever. It's not ultimately the thief that broke in and stole some of your property. But there is an enemy that wants to get me so discouraged and short-sighted that all I can think about is what I shouldn't be thinking about. There it is. That's what he would want to do. And so we don't need to be ignorant about this. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. He said, but even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So here he's telling us, and it'll follow up, and you'll see it. He's saying, for those who have not believed upon Jesus, those that have not been born again, that the gospel, in a way, is veiled. It's hard to grasp it. Hard to grab hold of it. Verse 4. It says, so it's veiled to those who are perishing, verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Do you know some people that have been blinded to the gospel? I can lift my hand. You got family members that minds have been blinded to the gospel. They don't understand why you're here this morning. They don't understand why you pick up your Bible to read it. They don't understand when you talk about praying for something. They don't understand it. But I'm saying don't get bent out of shape with them over it. They've been blinded to this, and we got to pray that God will open their eyes. But because it says here that they've been blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So I want us to think for just a moment. We see a world. We look into the world and we see a world that does things that are an abomination to God. We have a world that can't even see that the value of human life in the womb and the value of human life of the elderly and the value of human life, that where people are gunned down in violence and in gang related violence all over. Why is it? They've been blinded to truth. They've been blinded to it. We need to understand that in the spiritual realm what has gone on to cause this stuff. They are veiled to it. And therefore we must address it spiritually. Certainly, we understand those other things that might could be done, but ultimately, it's a spiritual issue that goes on in the world. We look and we see the things happening in the world with all of the LGBTQT, all of these things like this. Listen, there's eyes, that the spiritual eyes of people have been blinded and veiled. It's a strong delusion that has come to people. And ultimately, yes, the enemy's trying to destroy. He's trying to kill and to steal and destroy people's lives. But this should cause you and us to have a greater understanding and a greater compassion for those that are locked into these and held captive by the enemy and his devices and his methods. And yes, they need to be saved. They need to be born again. But that should cause us to want our light to shine brighter and brighter, that this world would be able to see the gospel and have the veil removed from their eyes and be born again. That should, and there should be this love and compassion that comes out of us for that reason. It's not a, we're not to condone such activities. We're not to condone the various sins of the flesh, but we are to love in a way that the gospel can be seen and experienced and heard from our lips, and pray that God will open their eyes and set them free. And I want to tell you, the greatest of all blindness that exists in this world is being blind to the gospel. The greatest of all hearing problems in our world is when we cannot hear the words of the gospel. And may we pray that God will open the blind eyes of those whose eyes are veiled, that they may see His light, the light of Christ. And it should shine on them here in verse 4. Here Paul in verse 5 said, we do not preach ourselves, but what do we preach? We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God, verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we see here the great challenge that is before us in this world. But we see the great challenge of our mind, that we can also fall victim to the schemes of the enemy ourselves. But we also are able to see what happens when we're lost. Before we came to Christ, we were veiled to truth. We were veiled. Maybe we understood part of it, but we didn't understand it fully. But when we come to Christ, it's though the scales are falling from our eyes. But we have to remain vigilant in the pursuit of the Lord, that His light would shine in and through us. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 3 as well. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Here it is again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's just another way of saying it's not the weapons like would be used in warfare in this world by humanity. It's not carnal. It's not by our ugly words that we can come up with, tell somebody off. It's not that. It's not going to be that. The weapons of our warfare as believers should not be carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want you to see just a few things here. In ancient times, And really around the world, even now, you go into countries all over the world and there may be, there's borders and walls. But in ancient times, cities would have walls, thick walls. In fact, for many of us, we might remember the story of the walls of Jericho. These walls were so big that they were apartments in the walls. There were homes built into the walls. On top of the walls, you could run chariots on top of the walls. So there was like a road on top of the walls. These things were massive walls. So a city would have a wall, but then they would have these massive walls, but then they would have big towers on the walls where watchmen would sit in the towers looking out at the enemy. So, and then thirdly, beyond the wall, the towers, then there were really the idea, if you were going to attack a city, somehow I need to scale the walls, penetrate the walls. I need to somehow get up the towers and take out the watchmen. And I also want to go and take the political and military leaders captive. So that's what you want to do. If you want to take this. Now, we see this language here in this passage we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says again, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see, the enemy would like to get, wants to get a stronghold on our life. He wants to wall us in. That's what he does in the world, but that's also, he doesn't take it lightly when you give yourself to Jesus. He wants you back. And he wants to bring a stronghold against your life to hinder you. And if at best he can do, he wants to hinder you and make you ineffective for the glory of God. And so here we see that Paul is saying, we've got to pull down strongholds, right? Look at the next verse. Casting down arguments. Think about the towers where you want to go up those towers and cast down the watchmen. Well, here he's saying the enemy would like nothing better. Here he says to us, he wants to exalt himself and he wants to exalt everything and lift up everything that is against God is what it's telling us here. But we've got to go up to we've got to make sure that we cast down those arguments. Casting down those arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then it said bringing every thought into captivity. The enemy would like to bring us into captivity, but we've got to bring every thought. Notice here, he goes to the thought. Why? Because the battlefield is the mind. And he's telling us here we need to bring that thought into captivity. So we need to pull down strongholds, he's telling us. We need to cast down arguments and all these philosophies and of this world that try to come against us to get our mind distracted and confused and get us off target. And we need to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to get our mind in line with Christ and obeying his will. So in closing, there's three words I want to use. This is what we need to do to not lose our mind. Anybody want to know how to not lose your mind? Lift your hand. I mean, being serious now. I'm being serious. If you don't want to lose your mind, put your hands down. Are there some things going on in your life you feel like you're going to lose your mind about right now? Just lift your hand. If that's you, listen. Be real about it. But you know what? We sit there and go, it's not a laughing matter, is it? It's huge. We don't want to lose our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So here it is. Maybe this is too simple for us today. I don't think so. Memorize. Just repeat it after me. Memorize, personalize, analyze. Here it is. memorize scripture. You say, well, I just don't have a good memory. All of us are different. Pastor Jonathan memorizes where the periods and commas are. He does. He knows. You ask him. He said, no, it's a semicolon. There's certain passages I know like that, but for the most part, I'm a content memorizer, meaning I want to make sure I know what the word says. And I might not be able to quote it word by word, but I want to accurately be able to recall that and to share it with you. That's how I preach. I don't have any notes up here except the Bible. That's just how God uses me, and that's how I think. But memorization, if you can memorize every word of a translation, do it. I'm telling you, do it. There's people all over the world who would love to have scripture. There's countries in the world where this book is illegal. But we have access here in the United States of America. Let's not take this for granted. In a country like Saudi Arabia, this is illegal on the streets of Saudi Arabia. Only on our military bases can our military men and women have one of these. But they're not to take that out into the streets of Saudi Arabia. But let's memorize the scripture. Let's commit it to memory in the best way we possibly can. Because that's what's going to make a difference in our life. So whatever it is, I mean, sometimes some of the songs that we sing, many of the songs we sing, there are particular lines in it that are straight scripture. I know a lot, melody and music always has helped me in memorization. But I think about just like Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You see, the word of God. In Isaiah 41, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We gotta have a source to go to. We need God's word. We're malnutritioned without his word. But if we've got his word dwelling in our heart richly, however in our personality, we can get his word in us and dwelling upon it and meditating upon it. I want to tell you, this is how we win over the methods, schemes of the enemy. Then personalize it. Personalize it. Go right here, 2 Corinthians. Let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is just an example how you personalize a scripture. Do we have that passage on the screen? Can you put that on the screen? I wasn't looking to see if we had that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. All right, there we go. Listen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm going to back up just a moment. This is how we personalize scripture. So here we say, for though I walk in the flesh, I do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I can add in there, Lord, help me to bring every thought into captivity, into your obedience. But that's what I'm saying. Let's memorize, but let's also personalize it. that this word will, it applies to me. This word will work in me. And we can do that. We can go to count. We can go all over the scripture and find what is God saying to me. It's not just what he's saying to everybody, but what is he saying to me? It makes a difference. So number one, what do? Memorize, personalize, and then analyze. Let me tell you what I don't mean by analyze. Don't have become paralyzed by your analyzing. Some people analyze stuff to the point they can't do nothing. They're paralyzed. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about looking at my life, evaluating my life, and going, you know, Lord, is this thing going on in my life, is it due to something I need to change? Example. If you don't have, if you're sitting there going, I just don't have a lot of Christian friends. I don't have enough Christian friends, or maybe I don't have any. Well, maybe we're not showing ourselves friendly. I'm not saying it's like that every time. I'm just saying the Bible says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Now, I understand that being just friendly is different than the depths of a friendship, but that's where it begins. Sometimes we got to analyze. If I've got a bunch of relationship problems, I might be the problem. I might be the common denominator. And I'm talking about a willingness to look at my life and saying, God, are there some things I need to change? Are there some things that need to be corrected in my own life instead of me focused on what other people are doing? Think about it like this. Somebody said, well, all these people, they just got a bunch of drama going on in their life, and they always telling me this and that and the other. Why are they telling you? You might be the one that's drama. If you're the common denominator and you got drama everywhere in your life, it might be you. Just thought I'd mention it. Repeat after me. Memorize, personalize, analyze. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll take the words of your scripture and do a work within us today. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to not lose our minds, but Lord, set our affections on things above. Set our minds on the things of your word and of purity and of life. And Lord, help us not to be distracted in this world gone crazy. God, I don't want us to lose our minds. In fact, I want us to be productive. In fact, I want us to be effective. God, we need to be effective. We need to be the most effective as believers we've ever been before. Help us individually to be more effective for the glory of God, that the light would shine out of us of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.